She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties.
Choose your own adventure romance. Who's gay?
You know, I can be a grown up about this. I need you to stay.
I will fact check it and put it in the notes.
That didn't need to be dirty. Why did I make it dirty?
It was such Scooby-Doo shit.
Almost finished with the season. What
are almost you doing? Almost done! Almost done!
Yeah, we have already filmed our last episode of the season, and we have one more to film after this one, which we're doing this weekend, actually.
Sunday!
Oh my gosh.
Last week, I barely had any energy and was like a void. That's the problem with ADHD. Mm-hmm. I'm either of a void of a human or I have all of the energy.
And I really need to take a gummy tonight. And I was like, I don't want to film. I just want to take a gummy. And Tom was like, well, the last time you filmed Stone, it was fine. And I was like, it was not. People knew.
I also wasn't leading.
People knew.
And it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So I want to talk about something different we're going to do starting in January. And
we're not different. We're staying the same.
Well, if we don't evolve, we die.
Valid. Evolve or die.
Evolve or die. So I'm on StoryGraph. I started this year.
I am too.
You did join? Yay. Okay.
I did join.
We need to follow each other.
Yes.
I started this year on StoryGraph and wasn't sure, like, you know, I was kind of playing around with it. And I don't have a lot of followers on there and I'm not really following a lot of people still. But I decided to try to shift away from Goodreads. I like what Goodreads has done. I have more of a community on Goodreads. Same. But it's owned by Amazon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where StoryGraph is a small business, small tech company, startup tech company. It's Black woman owned, which is really cool. First of all, women in STEM, hands down, I support that because we need more women in STEM. We just do.
I cannot stress that enough. Encourage your daughters to become engineers. Seriously.
Yeah.
Remember, when Apollo 13 was going to die, the only person that could save him was a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember, folks, women are usually the solution. Anyway,
they're not always the solution.
But I'm just saying, we come up with a lot of good ones.
We do have some good ideas, though.
So
I want to push my StoryGraph, and I want to make it a part of Book Besties. So
I think it's great.
I created a challenge. It is public. It is live now, but it doesn't really start until January. But if you're on StoryGraph and you join our challenge, and I think it's actually just like called Book Besties Challenge, but let me go and look for sure so I can make sure. It is called Book Besties Season 8 Reading List. So,
oh boy.
It is only for January to June, and I'll probably will do another one for season 9. But this, we'll link it below. This challenge,
in the diddly doos,
if you're on StoryGraph and you join this challenge, you will be able to see every book we're reading in season 8.
Nice.
Which we usually release them 2 weeks ahead of the month starting, so like mid the month before. But I'm giving you all of them. And here's what scares me about this, Molly.
Oh, no.
We tend to, like, switch things up.
Yeah.
And we're putting this out there. We're stuck with it. I'm going to have to read that Facebook that looks stupid.
It's not stupid. Do you know how many people loved that book? You know, people loved that book.
Listen, Sharkheart was redeeming for you.
Oh, but my
you recommend
God.
Books to me.
Guys,
I'm like,
do you... If you have not seen my fucking stare into space rant about Sharkheart on TikTok and Instagram, go over to our socials. This book, it altered me.
Yeah, it was
really
good.
I'm not joking. It really altered me.
And guess what? We're reading it next season for the pod.
Yeah. gave it 5 stars, babe.
I did.
You gave it 5 stars.
I did.
You and I don't always you and I don't agree on 5-star books usually.
I know. Actually, I've read 2 books this month already that have been 5 stars for me.
Damn.
Because I just finished Megan Quinn's How My Neighbor Stole Christmas. Oh, yeah. And I'm obsessed with her. And so now I...
just going to read it all.
I need to get her on the pod. She's amazing.
Oh. Megan Quinn, maybe sit until she's on.
She's like big though. Well, I mean, we do have Olivia Dean.
We have fucking Francesca Zappia. We have Francesca Zappia. Mm-hmm. She's fucking huge. We have Nikki. Nikki's fucking huge. And people that don't know who Nikki Payne is, you're under a rock because that woman's spectacular.
Yeah. We had Emma.
Emma. Barry. Oh my God. And let's not even talk about our Annapolis friends. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, by the way, I've got to say that I've got to let Heather know this when we interview them, when we interview her and her.
I was like, which writer? One? Heather I was thinking Webb. About bookables.
Oh, not that one. Heather Webb. Because I've been working in children's for so long, I never really see like books of authors that we engage with. Mm-hmm. And today I pulled a hold for one of Heather's books and put it
Which one?
Honestly, I can't remember. It was not one that we've read, but I saw her author's photo. It didn't even occur to me, but it was her. I was oh, this is Heather. Oh, yes, it is Heather. That's right. That is her. Yeah.
That book is so dang popular. The new one, the Christmas one they're doing is, they were telling me at Barnes & Noble's they can't keep it on the shelf.
We haven't been able to keep it in our collection. It has circulated a lot. And it's I just so recommended good. It to another person today who's like, well, I don't really like historical fiction. I was like, girl, me either. You need to read this anyway.
It's Harry Met Sally and The Crown.
I don't get those vibes as much as you do. The Crown, yeah, sure. But not the Harry Met Sally vibes. I don't know.
It's the we belong together, but time's not right. We belong together, but the time's not right. We belong together. And that's what Harry Met Sally is, right? It's this whole long drag out.
But when Harry Met Sally is Molly. A friendship that goes, they never stop being friends. These two do.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Not no, completely yeah. Doesn't matter. So check out StoryGraph,
please, support we'll put it on the socials. A
small business, and join our reading challenge and get to see all of the books we're reading for season 8.
And watch me flounder as I try to figure out how to use StoryGraph.
I'm still figuring it out too, and I've been using it for a year. It's actually very user-friendly, and I gotta tell you, because I love data, freaking love data.
I know you do.
It's like
that Excel spreadsheet in you.
You know what? Respectfully, fuck you.
I'm being nice. You love spreadsheets.
I do love spreadsheets.
I also love a good spreadsheet.
Spreading the sheets.
Yeah, spreading them in the sheets.
That didn't need to be dirty. Why did I make it dirty?
You're reading all the Christmas winter smutties.
I'm reading a book right now. Well, you're about to start it too. I'm reading a book right now about a porn star.
I'm so excited about this book. When they showed us this book at Novel Grounds, I was like, sold.
And for those of you who don't know, Nurse Katie and I are doing Warm Winter Bitches. It's our version of Smut Girl Summer, but in the winter. And Molly is joining us for our third book, which is like a Hallmark movie that kind of gets turned upside down because it's leading ladies.
Everybody's sick.
No, they're not sick. Wait till you find out what happened.
Oh, that's how, what's her face at?
They're not
Novel Grounds. Wait. All right, let's talk about this week's book then.
Okay. So this week's book is Love Light Farms by B.K. Borison. And look at this cover because it gives you sweet, wintry Christmas tree farm vibes, it should because that's exactly what this book is.
B.K. Borison, their covers, because I didn't know, her covers, give me Little House on the Prairie vibes when it comes to covers because of the color scheme and the light. I don't know how to explain it. I love Little House on the Prairie as a kid.
I feel like it's a desaturated promo for a Hallmark movie.
Yes.
That's what it is for me.
It's a very mature variation of all these cartoon covers we've been getting.
Right. And this is the first time I've read B.K. Borison, and I want to read the rest of the series because...
I do, too.
It was really...
I do, too. B.K., babe, you're welcome to come on, girly.
So welcome.
Come.
Where is she located? I think it says in here. She is
in hell, Baltimore. Like the rest of us.
She's oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to find you, woman.
I remember thinking that.
Find you.
I remember.
Well, I mean, this is set in Maryland.
Creepy.
Have you met me? I have two settings. Super friendly, super creepy.
Well, I'm going to need you to pull the friendly one out before you invite an author.
I am friendly. I will also stab people.
I love this. She started writing in the margins of books when she was in middle school and hasn't stopped.
I love that.
All right. So you want a synopsis?
Please.
All right. Stella is the owner of a Christmas tree farm in a small town where Christmas magic is made from. But Lovelight Farms has fallen on some very tough times. Supplies are not being delivered. Someone smashed all the pumpkins in the pumpkin patch. And there is
an some Scooby-Doo shit.
Right. And there is an entire plot of trees that are damaged. And in effort to recover financially, I'm never going to financially recover from this. Stella enters a contest with a social media influencer slash blogger, Evelyn St. James. The only problem is that Stella lied on her application and claimed she bought the farm with her boyfriend, who doesn't exist. Enter her best friend of 10 years, Luke. Luke agreed to a week of fake dating Stella without hesitation. But during that week, the lines between reality and fantasy are blurred, and the two slowly start to become more and more intimate. This book is rounded out with a cast of characters who appear in the other books in the series, including Beckett, the main farmer of for Lovelight, Layla, the fantastic baker of Lovelight, and Charlie, Stella's brother, who happens to only be 8 months younger than her. That's it. That's the synopsis.
The fact that these authors keep putting bakers with amazing recipes in their fucking books and aren't sharing the goddamn recipes, I'm gonna stab someone. I'm gonna fucking stab someone.
But listen,
because
I
want these god-blessed recipes!
But see, if I were a writer and I wrote a baker, that's exactly what it would be like, because I can't bake.
Right.
So I would just be like making it up.
Look at freaking Abby Jimenez. You know what I mean?
That woman bakes. Abby Jimenez doesn't have any rest. Like, she doesn't have. Wait, she does have food in her books.
Yeah. See?
Oh my gosh.
That's
my
hold
for the audiobook just for the summer came through today, and I was like, I feel like December isn't the right time to read this.
I'm just gonna, no. Also, I hear that book's, like, tragically sad.
Well, I don't know, but from watching some of her TikToks, it seems that her book that comes out next summer, which has a Taylor Swift title.
My gosh.
Speaking of, People Magazine cover.
Queen. Mother.
The book that she has coming out next year, it kind of merges all the characters from both of her series into this Abby Jimenez multiverse of a book. So
it's Abby Jimenez Con.
So I need to get caught up because I've only read Part of Your World and Yours Truly. Yours Truly is one of the best books I read this year. It's very good.
Damn.
Yeah.
I reread Fourth Wing this week.
Because you did? You were talking about it.
Yeah, Matt's blown through them, and he and I are, like, trying to stay on that series together, and the new book comes out in January.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
I've pre-ordered it, and the way that Iron Flame ended, I need to know what happens next.
I just finished, spoilers for those that haven't read Fourth Wing, I just finished where Liam dies and she wakes up in Zane's bed and her brother's at the door and then done. End of book one. Why? Why, Rebecca?
I cried when Liam died.
I was so upset when Liam died.
I was unwell, for sure.
I was unwell. Right. I'm still unwell. Sorry.
Let's talk about this book.
We literally talked about this. We talked about this book already on pod.
We have?
Last season.
Oh, right. Last season. I thought you meant Love Light Farms. I'm like, no,
This isn't a rehashing
If you want to know our feelings on Fourth Wing, there's an episode from season 5.
Call me. Text me, bother me on socials, I'll talk about it again. I don't fucking care.
And Nurse Katie was in that episode, too.
She was!
Alright, okay. Well, I picked this book for my TBR after it was recommended to me from someone from our actual book club, like the non-pod book club.
The one you guys aren't getting into.
Yeah, that's an exclusive ticket. Personally, I loved the sweet winter vibes of this book and B.K. Morrison's writing style. So what were your overall thoughts on Love Light Farms?
I like BK.
Yeah.
She is a warm, hot chocolate. She is sweet and, like, she is a formula, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a hallmarky good time.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. There might be a little bit too many things going on, and I think we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But it all works.
Yeah,
I have no complaints about her writing style or how she progresses the story along or anything. Like, I will read her again.
I agree. And I will definitely read her again. I would like the other three books in the series. But again, I'm going on that book, self-imposed book buying ban for 2025.
Wild.
Unless someone gives me a gift card or something. I'm not buying my own books. But you know who she reminds me of? And I think this is going to not really make sense, but let me explain it. She reminds me of Jen DeLuca in the Well Met series.
What?
Yeah. So it's not that they have anywhere the same, like, vibe, the stories. It's the writing that have the same vibes. Like, this is the first book in her series, and Well Met's the first one in Jen DeLuca's series. And both of them were
Maryland.
They're set in Maryland, but they're both first-time authors when they came out with those books. And Jen DeLuca's Well Met series, the cast of characters are all in the first book, with the exception of, like, the last book. Never mind. You didn't read all of them. I did. But anyway, you get the scene set of all these characters at one time, and I feel like that is reminiscent of what Borisson did here.
I'll take your word for it, because I didn't read all of them.
And it also makes me a little worried, because the second book in Jen DeLuca's series is just awful. It's really bad.
That sucks.
And I'm worried about that for this, but I am excited because the second book is Beckett's.
I know. And the influencer. Here's my thing. The sophomore slump hits everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It is not something that authors can dodge. Authors that do dodge it are the rarity. Let's not
get it twisted. But do you mean the sophomore slump, like, as in their second book ever, or their second book in a series?
Their second book in a series can be lackluster most of the time for me.
The only person I can think of that did it better in her second book with Suzanne Collins with the Hunger Games series.
Faves. Yes, because Catching Fire
is fucking amazing.
It is such a spectacular book. Mm-hmm. Okay, we gotta stop going on. My ADHD is too strong today. You give me a little bit of wind and I'm taking off. So we're not even gonna talk about Catching Fire.
That just made me think of that episode of Friends. How can I grow if you won't let me blow?
I sent you the Jeopardy thing the other day, right? Did I send you that Jeopardy clip the other day where they were, like, doing Friends things? And they're like, Ross insists this was a thing. What is this 5-word expression? And it is, and they yell it, the group yells it together. We're on a break!
When that show was running, I was like, he cheated on her. As an adult, I'm like, I don't really feel like he did. She broke up with him. I think it was too fast, and it was disrespectful to just jump in someone's bed. But she ended it.
But some people need to bang to clear the brain. And, you know, I'm not going to judge what people do. Also, Ross falls in love real freaking quickly. I think his heart's in his penis.
There's an episode where Chandler says, does she already own a wedding dress? When he starts dating somebody. Shit show of an episode? Okay. Stella is a bit of a mess. Speaking of being a mess.
Word.
She has serious daddy issues, a dead mom, and a best friend who she's been in love with for a decade. But I'm resurrecting a question here that we've used this in season one, but it's not come out this season. Is Stella a heroine? Does her stick-to-itiveness in keeping the farm alive, even on the brink of financial disaster, does that count here? Is she a heroine?
Yes. Because even at the end of the day, she knew to accept help. She knew. And the strongest people are the people that goes, you know what? I need help.
She didn't ask for it.
No, but she accepted it. And she wasn't stubborn about it. Mm-hmm. She didn't fight. She didn't like, she mm-hmm. was like, okay, I will hear you guys out, right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, she did talk them down from their original proposal because Beckett and Layla were going to take a 40% pay cut. Well, it's still hers. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still hers.
She referred to them as partners, but they really weren't. It was her farm. They were her employees.
But in her heart, you know, like, mm-hmm. to her, like, mm-hmm. they put so much love, time, and effort into this mm-hmm. place. It's as much theirs as hers.
Well, now they're going to be financial partners, too, because they're going to buy into it. But here's the thing.
Financially responsible.
Here's the reason why I put this question on here. Because okay. I don't think that she is.
Okay. Because she needed a man to fix the solution she got herself into?
She did. And Beckett called her out on that shit in the beginning. He was like, you can own a farm by yourself. Like, why do you
lie? But I lied. But the reason she lied, it wasn't for the blogger.
I know.
It was for herself.
I know. But here's why I don't think that she is a heroine. I think that she is too stuck in her head about how she has to do something else. Mm-hmm. She spent this money that her mom, from her mom's life insurance policy, there's no backup plan.
She's literally on her last dime. Instead of
putting on her big girl pants and actually talking to the people that she refers to as her partner, she enters a contest, lies to enter it, and lies to them about the actual financial ruin that they're in.
This is like Stars Hollow, but smaller. And she's just like, yeah, everybody will just be on board. She didn't even think about it. She's just like, yeah, mm-hmm. we're just going to lie. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yeah. And I think that and you can use a good comparison between her and Lorelai.
Oh my God.
They both have it in their head that in order to be boss bitch, in order to be the strong, independent woman, you can't ever ask for help. But that's just not how things work.
The problem with Lorelai is
so many
her things. Her parents used money to fix everything, right?
Money fixes a lot of the problems Lorelai had.
Right, but I'm not crawling back to my parents. Mm-hmm. I'm not. Because in Lorelai's shoes, and in Lorelai's situation, mm-hmm. her parents wanted ownership. As soon as she went there and asked for money, the first thing her mom says is, well, do I get something out of this?
I disagree.
What are you doing for me?
I disagree, but this feels like something that we don't need to go down the rabbit hole for.
See, this is why I told you not to.
You're the one that fucking brought up Stars Hollow.
I brought up Stars Hollow. You brought up Lorelai.
Molly! It was not a far leap.
I swear, I'm sober. I'm just ADHD queen today.
It's fine. We talked about this together as we were reading, but I really think it's important for our listeners to actually hear this. So we both had feelings about the relationship between Stella and Luke. It is glaringly obvious that they both love each other as more than friends. Was this a writing issue, or was it just about us becoming better readers?
It's us being better readers. Mm. Look, the miscommunication trope, everybody fucking loves it. It's a whole reason people write it. Oh, okay. Then people hate it. Okay. This is the
miscommunication trope. But
it's just the miscommunication trope. It is just blatantly obvious to everyone else. But think about, I'm going to go back. Think about, like, high school. There was always two friends that bickered and teased and picked on each other. And what is the first thing everyone yells? Just bang already, right? We know you guys want to be together. Mm-hmm. Why are you acting like you don't?
Yeah. I struggle with this question because when we have a miscommunication trope in other books where they're friends and they don't want to cross that line and they're not sure if the other person has the same feelings, it usually takes the whole book to actually see that happening.
Yeah.
And this happened way too soon in this book. Like, well, we knew from jump that he was into her.
But they always have physical contact. There has always been physical contact between these two. So they always have been in a partial relationship anyway. Yeah. They just didn't define it.
Yeah.
They were going to end up, it was one drunken night away from them ending up in bed and her being knocked up. Let's not lie.
I mean, maybe. you know what I think it is?
Hmm.
You know what I think would have made it better? And I want to be clear on this. I gave this book four and a half stars?
I gave it four. It's a solid four star for me.
I think that's what I gave it too. So that means I liked it. Like, if I give it a four star, I like it. It's really hard to get a five star out of me. Like, it's just not something I do very often, which is why I'm so awestruck that I gave two books this month. Yeah, I gave it a four.
Mm-hmm.
What would have made it better is if we had dual narrators. And if we would have had Luke's point of view, we would have known earlier on that he had told her brother about his long game.
No. She had a crystal clear voice throughout this. It may have gave you, the reader, clarity, but this story did not need a male voice.
I just mean that, yes, you're right on that, but I just mean that having the male voice in here would have made this miscommunication make more sense.
Probably.
Because but we could have seen his side of it as opposed to us just reading it going, are you fucking kidding me? How do you not see that he's in love with you?
But I also feel like if we add that in, you're getting him telling her story and her struggle.
And that's not good. Yeah.
No.
And also, then it turns into one of these 500-page romance novels, which is seriously fucking unnecessary.
We talked about this during Walls of Winnipeg, guys.
Not walls, just one wall.
I'm from New York. I add up to everything. Whatever.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the Lovelight Farms for a second. Stella bought this Christmas tree farm that she grew up going to with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
She bought it with her mom's life insurance policy, and Stella really have a plan. And the farm was essentially an impulse buy while she was grieving, which is never the best time to do it.
Brilliant. Yeah.
However, Stella seems to be managing it really well. Despite the issues she's having, which we're going to talk more about later, she's hired the right crew, and the farm is absolutely beautiful. So what is it about a Christmas tree farm that brings that holiday romance magic?
I don't know. We didn't spend much time at Christmas, honestly, and I was a little pissed about that.
That's true.
I was really pissed. I expected a Christmas book. Twinkle lights.
I mean, it starts in October.
Mistletoe. Right. What the actual fuck, my guy?
I don't know, because Christmas tree farms probably don't operate on Christmas.
She absolutely was creating the magic that she remembered as her childhood. And
you know who else grew up on a Christmas tree farm?
Taylor motherfucking Swift.
Sorry, go ahead.
Taylor fucking Swift with her brother. Look.
That feels made up, even though I know it's not. It just feels made up.
Look. I expect Christmas stories to be Christmas stories. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about Smashing Pumpkins. I don't. Shut up. You knew what I meant. Shut up. You knew what I meant.
What's your issue with Smashing Pumpkins? They were a great.
Nothing. I love, you know. Oh, no. I'm going to go on a tangent here. I watched the Elvis documentary on Netflix, the new one. You know how I feel about Elvis. Anyways.
I didn't even know there was one.
Oh, yeah. And the lead singer from Smashing Pumpkins was one of their main commenters throughout this. Oh. And he was talking about how much he loves Elvis and how much of a badass. Him and Bruce Springsteen were in it. It was really freaking good. It was really freaking good.
Or is that the lead singer of...
Bruce Springsteen?
No.
Billy something. I want to say it's Billy something.
Yeah, Billy Corgan.
Yeah. That's yeah. But, like, I didn't know Billy Corgan was such a huge Elvis fan. But listen, now I Billy feel like Corgan's I relate to like, that man.
Billy Corgan's, like, a music savant.
Savant, he's like yeah.
In all sorts of, yeah.
Did I send you the TikTok I saw of Slipknot singing Yacht Rock?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
So much. Anyway.
Okay, so I agree with you. I wanted this to be more Christmassy, but I feel like she did a good job bringing the Christmas magic into a book without it actually being Christmas.
Also, I have... Okay.
I don't think you're allowed to ring a bell about a Christmas tree farm.
Oh, give me a sec. It does not snow in Maryland anymore. Not even the north part of Maryland. There is not snow on any Christmas tree farms. There's no way that's right. Last year's snow was the first time DC had seen snow in 15 years.
Well, then you can't say that there's no snow because they had it last year.
You know what I'm fucking saying, woman.
I feel like we need to fact check that. I feel like we need to fact check that.
I will fact check it and put it in the nudes. The nudes.
In the nudes? Mm-hmm. Don't be putting stuff in nudes. wait.
Off the motherfucking rails.
Wait. I can't. I should have just taken the gummy. I'm acting like I'm stoned anyway. When Evelyn arrives at the farm, we learn that she and head farmer, hot guy extraordinaire Beckett have slept together. Dun, dun, dun. What did you think about this addition to the plot? And how do you feel about knowing that they're going to be getting their own book, which is book two? It's called In the Weeds.
I'm so excited about this. I am so excited about this. First and foremost, Beckett doesn't fuck around. So, like, for him to sleep with a woman is a big goddamn deal.
I love that Layla says, I didn't know you had sex. And he's like, I do. Just keep it private.
And she was so fucking frazzled seeing him. I know. It was so amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand.
That guy rocked her world.
Yeah. And then she panicked. Yeah. She panicked and ran away. Right. What I love is, like, Beckett is so, like, demure and quiet and, like, minds his own business. Mm-hmm. And this woman is everywhere. And he's just like, I didn't know who she was.
He doesn't even have social media.
How do you know? She's like Bailey Sarian. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows.
Oh, yes, I do.
Murder, Makeup, Mystery Monday. Shana, shana, shana.
Count that. It counts.
Boo. My murder mystery and makeup friends will understand.
I like her stuff. I'm excited that they're going to get a book. I want a book about him. That sounds great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that he very clearly cares about her and doesn't know how to deal with those feelings. Mm-mm. Like, he went and talked to her in person in the hotel. We don't actually see that scene. We hear about it. And, like, tells her, like, you know, I can be a grown up about this. I need you to stay.
You don't understand. This, yeah. Like, this isn't about me. Yeah. By the way, I have beef. Stella does not need three names.
She doesn't have three names. Her name is Estelle. She goes by Stella. I don't know why she goes by Lala. Where the fuck came from?
Every time someone says her name, they are saying a different name.
Most people call her Stella.
It's not like I walk into a room and somebody goes, hey, Mo, and then I walk into another room and somebody's like, hey, Molly Joe, and then I walk into another room and somebody's like, hey, Molly! No, that's not how life is.
Yeah, it is.
Not in my world.
Listen, in my world, we call Sam, Sam, Sammy, Sammy Cake, Samuel, Sam the Ham, yeah. Sam,
I started
Sam Sandwich.
I gave him Sammy Cakes.
I know. He likes that. He calls you Molly Cakes, Aunt Molly Cakes.
He's very my cute. Buddy. He's my buddy.
All right, like Beckett, Stella's other partner on the farm, Layla, gets her own book, and Layla is one hell of a baker. And town deputy Caleb Alvarez has definitely noticed. Did this set this setup for book three, which is called Mixed Signals, work in this book?
Yes. Yes.
I don't think it did.
Okay.
I don't think we needed Alvarez to show an interest in her.
You know what's really bad is for Alvarez, you know who I was picturing? Dewey from the Scream movies.
I don't know what to do with that.
I don't know why. It's just, I heard small town deputy and my brain goes, Dewey!
Your brain went David Arquette.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. No. That's no. No.
That's okay. You don't have to agree with me. I don't think it should be him either. I'm just saying she autofills. She does her own thing sometimes.
Town Sheriff Dane has a special heart for Stella. So when he discovers that Lovelight Farms has been vandalized and had property stolen, he's on the case. The case leads to the town librarian, Mr. Hewitt. Fucking, we never are the ones that did it, okay? Who is trying to make Stella miserable so that she would sell him the farm, because apparently, I'm sorry, this is so ridiculous. Apparently, Mr. Hewitt's lifelong dream is to own an alpaca farm. So what did you think of this storyline?
It was such Scooby-Doo shit.
It really was. And it's let's so see who's under this mask. Mr. Hewitt, the town librarian?
Oh, no!
I would have gotten away with it if it wouldn't have been for your meddling kids, Beckett and Luke.
Look, the only thing Luke didn't have that he needed was a hound dog by his side. And then he would be the appropriate small town cop.
Beckett had a lot of cats.
No, that was cute and super fucking adorable.
Oh, do you mean Dane?
Dane, the sheriff. The sheriff needed a hound dog to make it a true small town sheriff.
I kept picturing him as the sheriff from Resident Alien.
The tall man with the... He's very serious, but he's older, isn't he?
I don't know, but that sheriff is so dumb. He's so dumb. Anyway.
So dumb.
I thought this whole plot line was just kind of ridiculous.
So ridiculous.
I don't think we needed it. I think she could have been having issues and it not be the librarian.
Legal matters?
No, no, back.
Federal crime?
Right! It's so ridiculous.
He did so much property damage, he would go to jail.
To jail.
To jail.
To jail.
To jail. To
jail.
Jail. How are we both sober right now?
I can't breathe. Oh,
there's something wrong with us.
What a shit show.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. So,
you know what else pisses me off about his storyline?
That was my question.
Okay. Sorry. You go to that then.
Go ahead.
Why
Pop
does he
off
have to
queen.
Why does he have to be the token gay guy? Yeah. Why do we have to have a token gay guy just to have a token fucking gay guy? Not every story needs to be LGBTQ+.
And
no
we are a queer-friendly podcast.
I'm
but like,
queer. I'm queer. I'm saying this.
I just don't really like when an author does it because they're like, ooh, diversity.
Do it for the content.
Diversity.
No, I'm sorry.
Already gave somebody a last name like Alvarez. If you're really just trying to like do it for the, I don't know.
Just
how to
a
say this
random Hispanic man living in a tiny small town,
right? Who's by blonde, himself. By the way.
Moving on.
I don't know.
See, but, we're picking it apart now, and we don't need to.
But if Dane is going to be gay, I feel like that needed to be established earlier.
Then be fucking gay. But, like, don't, like, just, like, sneak it in last minute. Right. Like, oh, you have a crush on the pizza guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like, we need some diversity, add in a choice here. Oh, we'll make the sheriff gay, and he's in love with the pizza guy.
Choose your own adventure romance. Who's gay? I'm sorry, I'm an asshole tonight, I guess.
This might be my favorite episode we filmed this season. Without guests, I should say.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Thanksgiving. Stella has two very different Thanksgivings in this book. The first one is with her father and his family, which includes her stepmother and her brother, who is only 8 months younger than her. The second is with Luke and his mom, grandma, and aunts. And I don't have a question. I just want to know feelings.
Okay. Bell gang. Okay, first and foremost, if we're going to build daddy issues into this, we either need to develop that full storyline or we need to release that storyline. Mm-hmm. It was not a fully thought out storyline to me. Mm-hmm. Like, he was there for cannon fire. Mm-hmm. He wasn't there for, she needed the texture and she needed the drama and she needed something to make her not trust people. But to just throw in this random not Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and this really great relationship with her brother, who's just a little bit younger than her. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't fully thought out, and we didn't really know that the mom was the other woman until mm-hmm. we got to the, like, it, there was just, yeah. there was missing pieces in that story.
Do you know how last week I said you either get to be a Christmas writer who's Jewish, or you get to have an autoimmune disease, you don't get both?
Yeah.
You either get daddy issues or you get a dead mom. You don't get both. Like, it was too much.
Too many slices.
Too many slices. I
can't have a bunch of wives.
You get one wife. It's the way of the world.
Why? Why?
I don't know. So I feel like dad being gone and the fact that her mom was the other woman, that's a fine story. She could have reunited with her brother. I don't think we needed to go to Thanksgiving and watch dad pass dad out in the mashed potatoes.
Scoop the potatoes. And, like,
we already knew he was an asshat. Like, we knew it.
And it just felt like an afterthought that he was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
It just...
That's never established until we show up at Thanksgiving.
It is... It is an unpolished storyline. I'm not going to say unfinished, because it may be everything she intended it to be. I don't know her intent as a writer, but it left me wanting. Either A, tell me everything and fill this world out more, or B, cut it out. Make him a shit dad that just disappeared.
I think...
And you find a brother on 23andMe. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm okay with her having met up with her dad, and that's how she met her brother. But that story of their relationship should have been saved for the book that is his book.
Yeah.
It didn't need to be in her book. Oh, the brother gets a book? Huh?
The brother gets a book?
The brother gets a book. His book is, I think it's the fourth one. Let me see here. I think it's the fourth one. And I'm pulling it up. Give me a second. Goodreads is running slow.
Everything another is lately. Reason
why I'm not such a big fan of Goodreads. It always runs slow. Page not available. Well, fuck you too, Goodreads.
What's Captain Google say?
I don't know. I didn't try Captain Google.
Usually he's doctor, but today he's captain.
All right. The third one is, or the fourth one is called Business Casual. And is her brother.
Brother.
Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And
half brother
and a suit wearing investment banker, Charlie Milford. Charlie's a girl, just so you know.
Oh, it's like Charlie and Charlie.
No,
Charles and no, Charlie.
Her brother is Charlie. Nova Porter isn't looking for love, and she certainly has no explanation for her attraction to the button-up three-piece suit wearing investment banker, Charlie Milford. I don't know who Nova is. We've never met this character.
Oh, we're just going to put new characters in last minute. I love it.
I'm okay with that. They don't all need to be from the first book.
No, they all need to be from the same small town. That's the whole fucking point of this.
Charlie doesn't live in this town, and neither did but Luke for that matter, and neither okay. did Stella, or not Stella.
Okay!
Evelyn. Okay, well, whatever.
Hugo?
I liked the Thanksgiving that she got to have with Luke's family. Mm. That, to me, was the moment that we needed to focus on. We needed and, you her know, feeling part of this family.
And you know what's wild is they've been making her part of that family.
And she's chosen not to be part of it.
Yeah, actively. It's kind of a dick mood on her
side. I love that the first thing that they say to them when they get there, I think it's his grandmother, is like, just because you guys are having sex now doesn't mean that you should be late.
And then she's like, she's not friends. She's not a guest. Get in that kitchen, fucking help.
Right. And he's like, we're 10 minutes early. Like, we're not even late. Like,
if you
also, I just want to say, an Italian woman moving to this town because she thinks it's going to be the Venice of Maryland.
The Sicily, yeah, or whatever. Like, yeah.
Whatever it was. No. That's not going to happen.
No.
Also, why are all of her sisters and aunt there, too?
They just all moved there. They're going to make it Little Sicily.
So there's things like this, Molly, that we can nitpick in the episode.
Right.
But while I was reading it, I very much
enjoyed it. It was adorable. It. I so loved cute. This book. It's not that I didn't like the book.
Right. All right. Let's talk about the spice. So okay. This book is open door with a few spicy scenes thrown in. And Luke tells Stella he wants to do whatever feels right. And Stella agrees on the condition that they remain friends afterward. So how did you feel about their agreement and the spice in this book?
They were not clear. There was like a conversation on consent and there was a conversation on like, let's do what feels right. But what feels right? Let's be more clear because the miscommunication trope had them hitting a wall.
Mm-hmm.
So like, but the spice is good. It was very hot.
It was good. And I mean, and there's not a lot of it and it doesn't get super
but it, explicit. It doesn't need it.
It is open door. It doesn't need it. This book wasn't, that's not what it called for.
She gave it the right amount. Like if there was too much, it wouldn't feel authentic to the story.
Agreed completely. But what I question about this is they've been friends for 10 years and that line has all been there, like completely there. And they so quickly break that line, break that boundary.
They've been like wanting to for so long.
He fingers her on a couch and she like, I don't know, they like dry hump and he gets off that way. I don't know. I feel like if that's going to happen, if that's where you're going to start, that would have happened when they first met.
They should have, like, they both had their shit, obviously.
Yeah.
They both had their shit, and they both had a lot of, like, well, what if this happens? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if this happens? I
just had a hard time believing that these two never just, like, banged and then decided they were better friends.
I'm surprised they haven't drunk banged.
Yeah.
I really am.
Right.
That shows a lot of real control.
My big thing. Well, this is going to lead to the next question, so I'm just going to go ahead and start that. The last thing I want to talk about is the contest. Stella is disqualified, of course she is, after she reveals the truth to Evelyn, who, unsurprisingly to no one, already knows, because this is a small town and literally had a betting pool about when Stella and Luke were going to get together. I don't know why she thought this was going to work. This was never going to work. Since Evelyn knew the truth, she shows Stella evidence that Luke is absolutely in love with her, and everyone knows it. Was this the right conclusion for this novel, or was it too much like a Hallmark Christmas movie?
No, it was perfect. It was actions for consequences, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she lied. She broke the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Things are still going to turn out right.
Yeah.
Because I'm still going to
promote
you.
Your farm, but this is the story I'm going to tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just felt like, you are so stupid. You have just had glorious sex and multiple orgasms with this man. He tells you he loves you and you're just like, oh no, you don't.
Well, I think it was,
I want
like,
us to be friends. He's offering you a life, not
but
a
she
friendship.
Wasn't she's like, I know you do. It was more like I think she was interpreting it like, yeah, I know you love me. We've been best friends for 12 years. Of course you love me.
But he tells her, no, I'm in love with you. And she's like, you're not in love with me. You promised
we just
me
fucked.
You promised me we'd still be friends after this. And it's like, he's not
That's
telling you he doesn't want to be friends. He's telling you he wants more. Yeah. And that's what you want. So stop being an idiot.
Yeah, get your head out of the fucking sand.
Right.
You're so dumb. You're being dumb. So dumb.
So dumb. So dumb. All right. Anything else I missed? You gave it a 4. I gave it a 4.
I gave it a 4. Yeah. Mm.
Anything else?
I don't have anything else. I ain't got nothing else.
Next week. Oh, it's behind me. Hang on.
I can't find it.
Next week, we are talking about this book, Christmas with the Queen,
by Hazel
Gaynor and Heather Webb. And we actually had to reschedule the interview with them because Hazel is in the UK and they lost power. And so
the whole island just...
Yeah. but
we would have heard about that, guys. I was joking. The whole island of...
No, it was really on the news.
The whole... All of London.
A lot of the UK was without power.
Shit. I was being a smart ass. I'm sorry.
Didn't you read that in Heather's? Okay, never mind. This is what we're reading next week. Christmas with the Queen.
Come on.
And I'm really excited to talk to them about it. I liked Heather's other book that we read earlier this year. And I don't like historical fiction, guys. So when I say I like a historical fiction novel, take that to the bank. Because it doesn't happen very often.
I really want to bring Hazel on now because I looked at her novels and they look good too.
Well, talk to her about it when
we... as fuck will.
Okay,
then. And that's the confidence I'm going
in. In case you haven't heard the news yet, we are also wrapping up season 7 with...
Wiggity-wiggity-wick.
Olivia motherfucking Dade.
That's right, people. And we get a sneak peek at one of the new books.
Zom rom-com. She actually reads an excerpt. She doesn't even have ARCs out yet. This was her copy that she was editing. She pulled it up and read it. That's what happened.
I didn't panic at all when that happened. I didn't black out and forget all of it and have to wait till the editing to read it.
I feel secondhand embarrassed over myself, which I don't know how that happens. I had a total out-of-body experience when we were interviewing her. And then, an hour later, I texted you and was like, I did a really bad job. And I hate myself.
I feel like I was like this the whole time.
Do you remember, I don't even know if I've said this on pod yet, but do you remember that Chris Farley character from SNL that would be describing movies to the actors and be like, you remember that? Do you remember when you did that in the movie? That was me while we were interviewing Olivia Dade. So embarrassing!
You're not. It was a wonderful interview and we had a great time with her.
Yeah, she's really awesome.
She is.
All right, so that's what we've got coming up. Don't forget to find me on Storygraph and follow our challenge and take the challenge with us. And we've got some really cool content planned for off season. And we're still doing Warm Winter Bitches, Nurse Katie and me. And
I'm actually doing the next book with you guys.
You are? And that'll go through the end of January. And our season 8.
Wow.
Season 8 will kick off the last Tuesday in January. We are interviewing the author of Queen Bess.
So excited.
And we'll be, that's going to be really cool. That book has a lot of buzz, but I haven't seen it on social media. So, but it does have a lot of buzz. It has a lot of good reviews. So, yeah.
So we'll see you guys next. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week, guys.
Bye. Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly, not those of anyone else. Today's book was Love Light Farms by B.K. Borison. Your Book Besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins, editing by Thomas Watkins, and music is Sleep Sweetly by Prigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book. If they come back, because we were just a mess today.
It was the best. I love it so much.
All right. Really, though. Bye.
Seriously, bye, guys.
All right.
Seriously, go away now. We're done. Okay.